All right, we're back here on the show Morning Wake Up 1320 WILS, AdTheDotCom, for online, where we're streaming 24/7, 365, of course, 25,000 watts of blowtorch power, not blowhard power, blowtorch power, across all of lower Michigan, Ohio, northern Ohio, and Indiana. We like to do employment on workplace culture segments on the show, as you know, and we do quite a few of them, both locally, nationally, internationally. One of them here today is called How to Tell Off Your Boss. Now, look, I'm not telling you to tell off your boss. That it's probably just going to get you canned, telling off your boss. How do you communicate well with your boss? What if you have an overbearing boss? See, now we're talking about some gray area and areas where you want to make it a little more clear, clarified, and positive for both you and your employer. Let's visit on this topic with Maria Mattarelli here, who's an expert agile coach who lives an agile lifestyle. Now, I want to know what that means. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing good. What does agile coach mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, great question. Agile is a way of managing projects. It's a project methodology, and it's often used in software development, and it helps people get to market faster, do twice the work in half the time.
Oh, I think everybody wants to sign up for that today. That sounds like highly productive. Well, you know what can get in the way of that is a boss that is really overbearing. I don't mean demanding, but over-demanding, and maybe to the point where you're spooked, and then you want to push back, but you can go too far with that, and then you have something thermonuclear, and that's never good, is it?
Yeah, no, not at all, and I have been in that situation as well.
So what do you recommend to people about this? How do you go about coaching those who want to honestly deal with the situation and turn a negative into a positive? Is it usually possible to do, usually?
You know, it can be challenging, because I remember back before I started my own company, Formula Inc., and as I worked for different bosses, I recall one very specific person who just micromanaged everything that I did. Mm-hmm. Now, when you think about this agile approach that we mentioned, it's a different work style. It's supposed to be more collaborative, higher communication points. And when you have a boss that's micromanaging you, usually there's an unmet need, or you're on a different page of some kind. So what I found helps is to really start by having that crucial conversation, asking, you know, what is it that are their most important goals? How can you help them be effective? And anytime you can make your boss look good, that's going to make your life a lot easier.
Yeah, that's the old line, and it does go back a ways. How do I get you a gold star? Because that's what I want to do, because that's going to make my life go better, usually. As well, you talk about those conversations, and as a manager, you know, I would always look like how I would have a conversation with, how do you like to be managed? What kind of managing style works best? And different for different employees. But if you're an employee, you have to be willing to have that conversation with your boss and be honest as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. If you have a situation where you're being micromanaged, that has to be a conversation to let your boss know the impact of it. I remember when I was in that situation, I couldn't do anything without having it undone and having to redo it, and it just caused double the work. And so if you can let your boss know the implication or specific facts or data of the fallout of certain decisions or actions, and then ask, you know, what is their perspective? What do they need? Who's breathing the pressure down on them that they're trying to then, you know, hand off to you?
Maria, there's definitely a responsibility, though, for an employee here. Like you just said, if you don't like to be micromanaged, you've got to show the upside to the person across from you or next to you that if you are allowed to operate and contract independently, that you're not only going to meet, but you're going to exceed expectations.
Oh, yes, for sure. And also it comes down to taking a little initiative as well. So if your boss is micromanaging you, it's possible that they don't feel you're doing the right thing. So if you can uncover if there's any unmet need or if there's something you're not doing or just one thing per week that you could do to be more effective, asking those questions shows initiative. I remember when I was the VP of Operations for the Project Management Institute in Central Illinois, what I discovered was that the president was looking for another leader to step up and take his position when he rolled off the board. Mm. And no one was stepping up at the time. I ended up moving out of town, started working downtown Chicago, so I couldn't stay there in person. But what was fascinating to me was the discovery that leaders are looking for other people to step up, and they're waiting for people to show them that opportunity and that drive.
And sometimes they can be quick to recognize that, and others, and other times not so quick. But part of that, again, is your responsibility to shine, also by helping them shine.
Oh, for sure. And I think a lot of people may not think about that. If you can make your boss look good, if you can make their job easier, it's not necessarily about the credit. And that can help you be more effective. Mm-hmm. That can help the organization as a whole. And it can also help you with your career.
Part of your bio says traveling the world on one-way tickets. How does that work? How does whatever I pay, look, when I pay one way, I feel like I'm flying Southwest or something. There's a name drop. But if I fly one way, usually I'm paying, you know, it's a last-minute deal. But you're flying one way on purpose. Now, what's the deal with that?
All right, great question. So a few years ago, I started traveling and training, speaking at conferences, and I started doing this so much that I was never at my place in downtown Chicago. Mm. So living on Michigan Avenue and never being there doesn't quite make sense. So a little over two years ago, I decided to get rid of my apartment. I sold most of my belongings, have one small storage unit left, a couple suitcases, and I just buy one-way tickets wherever I have to go. So this year, I was just in Shanghai, Jamaica, London, Canada, up in Montreal and Toronto, Bahamas, all within the last few months. And what I found is that having a place held me back. So to be able to speak at conferences, do these training classes, inspire people, and help organizations discover how to work better, I felt I needed to be more flexible.
I have to ask you this question here because I have an answer myself from my own. I want to see if yours matches, Maria. When I traveled and did a lot of traveling with a sports team and we'll call it a past life, there would be times I'd wake up 4:30, 4:45 in the morning and go, honestly, where am I? Where am I? There was a moment of absolute, not panic, but where the heck am I? What city? And I'd look out and go, oh, okay. Do you ever have that? Do you ever have that feeling?
All the time. I've coined the term travelmnesia, where you forget where you're at.
I like that.
You forget going. And, you know, one of the biggest things, it's like you walk out of a hotel room. Do I go left or right? I have no idea. Where's the elevator? I don't know.
Wait a minute. And I'm thinking about the layout for the last place, which was different than the last three places. So there's times, I mean, is it hard for you in that lifestyle to feel, you say you didn't want to have the one place, but to have that grounded feeling that everybody at some point wants to at least experience a bit?
You know, it is definitely a challenge. It's a challenge to not have a home to go home to, but the sacrifice or the trade-off is the excitement and the adventure. Mm. So I've gotten to a point where I feel comfortable with uncertainty. For example, I'm here in Tampa right now. I just finished leading a training class for a company, and I don't have a ticket out of here yet. So I know I'm going to eventually make my way back to Chicago to see family for the holidays, but I don't know exactly when, and I'm not sure. And I feel comfortable with that. And it reminds me of when I first started doing public speaking. This is so bad, but I didn't really prepare for speeches. I would just go up and speak about the topic with a couple bullet points as an outline, mm-hmm. knowing my opening line and my closing line. And I did that so much. I joined Toastmasters. I spoke every single week. And by doing that every week, I am so comfortable. Put me in front of any crowd, any stage, and I can speak with no preparation. So I train myself to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And it's the same thing with travel. So
I like that. That's it. Yeah, I mean, that is interesting, and that's a gift for you to be able to do that, impromptu speaking in front of a lot of people where you know your opening, you know your close, how you fit in between, you're going to work it, you're going to work the crowd, the topicals of the day, something about that, that's, in my career, my bit, that's something that's a gift, and if you have that, you have something very valuable.
Yeah, I think it's something about putting yourself outside of your comfort zone,
mm-hmm.
and that's when you can experience growth. Whenever you just push up against that edge of your comfort zone, that's when you can trigger change.
Maria Mattarella, where do we find you, Maria, online?
You can find me at formulainc.com. That's my company. That's Inc. with a K. Or Maria Mattarella, and that's MariaMattarelli. Or you can follow my travels on one-way tickets.
There she is. If you could find her today in Tampa, but by the time you get to Tampa, she's going to be gone. She'll be somewhere else, and of course, back to Chicago for the holidays. We will follow you there online, Maria. Thanks for joining us this morning. Fascinating stuff. We wish you a wonderful holiday season.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
All right, more coming up here. I think that's interesting, the way she, that's an interesting lifestyle, but it's not for everybody. And that's clearly the case. It's not for everybody, but for her, it's the right move. This is 1320 WILS.